Morning, ladies. How lovely is it today? Glorious weather, isn't it? I'm trying to decide what to do with this. So as Linda mentioned, I'm married to Matt. We've been married for 7-ish years now. I'm the one who's supposed to know that, aren't I? Yeah, sorry, I don't. I think it's 7 years. And we have two little boys. Seth, who is 3. Oh, this is, sorry, is that okay, sound-wise? Seth is 3 and Zane is 18 months or so. I'm so terrible with dates, but I'm also pregnant. so that's a really good excuse for a lot of things, isn't it? I can't remember. I'm pregnant. but this time we're having a little girl. I know, I'm very excited. I was just telling the ladies, we did, my little boy Seth, he was desperate for a girl baby. And we didn't find out with the boys, we had surprises. And this time, my husband was really desperate to know. He likes to plan ahead. I'm a bit more spontaneous. So he thought, you know, okay, this time we'll find out. So he went, very spontaneously found out. And we got back and we decided to do one of those, I don't know if you've seen them, the balloons, the gender reveal balloons. And Seth was so excited about this. So I went with him. We went to the shop and we got this balloon. He didn't know. And we filled it up with the correct coloured confetti. Obviously, he didn't see. And we got home, we were waiting for my husband to get home so we could video it and send it off to family who were all guessing and waiting, ready for the notification on their phone. And we put the balloon in the dining room. I thought, yep, it'd be safe there, great. It was a beautiful day, so we were all playing outside. I was playing with my little one, and I heard this horrendous scream. And Seth was just, I immediately thought, I'm going to have to take this child to A&E. Like, that's that piercing scream of, like, he's chopped his leg off or something. Something serious has happened. I turn around and he's like this to the sky and the balloon is floating away. And I'd left the patio doors open and the draft had just blown this balloon through the whole house and out up the sky. And it never returned. I thought somebody, bless him, somebody's going to have a nice little surprise. Somebody's going to know that someone's having a girl somewhere. But Seth was absolutely distraught, so we had to return to the card factory, as it happened to be, and got their last balloon. I was so relieved because he was so distressed. Got it, did the video, everyone was excited, so we're good, and I'm already receiving several pink cardigans hand-knitted by my grandparents, which is so lovely. So I've got pink items in my house now. Not going to be quite so outnumbered, still outnumbered, but not so outnumbered. It's so lovely to be able to share with you today. I'm really looking forward to it. We lead Sunderland Community Church. We've been doing that we planted from scratch 5 years ago now. So we have a really amazing congregation, similar sort of size to what we have here, which is really nice, and a real mixture of people. And I love that. I love the mixture. I love different types of people. My favourite things to do are to bake and then to eat those baked goods. So that's working out really well for me. I'm going to chat to you today a little bit about love. And love is such an interesting word, isn't it? Because we all hear it very differently. It's the exact same word, but for many of us, we hear it through different life experiences. Isn't it so amazing how we're all sat in this room, but each of us have walked a very different journey to be here. Our lives span different number of years. We have different parents, we have different siblings, we have different schoolings, we have different educations, different jobs. And that all tells us how we receive that word, love. And love will mean some really positive things to us because we'll have all had amazing experiences with different people. But it will also be very painful for us for other reasons. We may have lost people that we love. We may have had really hard experiences with people who were supposed to love us, people who were supposed to take responsibility for us, people who were supposed to look out for us. We will have been hurt by people who said they loved us. We will have been disappointed with people who do love us. And we will have disappointed those we love, because we're messy and we're human. And that's what happens in love, isn't it? We hurt others, we get hurt, and the cycle continues. And so when I talk about love, I think it's really important to clarify what I mean, because so many of us have walked such different lives and have such different experiences. You can love your children, but we all love our children in different ways, don't we? And even our children are different, and so they receive that love in different ways. I have a, my brother-in-law is really interested in psychology, and he tells me words that I don't have a clue even how to pronounce. But he talks about perspective and how we receive things and how we can do things with the very best of intention. But because of someone else's life experience, because of the way that we're built, because of just how we are as humans, we receive it all so differently. I might build Seth a tower, and Zane will come and knock it over. And for him, that's the best thing ever. But for Seth, that's the worst thing ever. And they have this feud and this argument, but they both feel loved by me. One, because I built something to be played with, and the other one, I built something that he could knock over. They're just different kids. And then they don't like each other. They feel disappointed with one another because they've ruined each other's play experience. And so that's our lives, isn't it? You know, somebody might do something for us and we receive it in very different ways. So love. The love that I'm going to talk about today doesn't come with any of those strings attached. It doesn't come with any disappointment, and it doesn't come with any bad experiences. Actually, it comes from a perfect love, a perfect love that was created by love. The one who is love created a love that we can receive without worrying about any of those extra things, those things that our life tell us we have to. I'm going to tell you a little bit about what that love is like. And I've got just a couple of Bible verses that is going to help us to just clarify what it is. Might just help us a little bit. I know it helps me. I'll give you the references, but don't feel like that's a pressure for you. It's just so that you, it's just evidence that it's there. It's there. It's in the Bible, I promise. And 1 John 4:18 says, "Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid, it's for fear of punishment. And that shows we've not yet fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us." So interesting, isn't it? It's true that very often when we find ourselves in a loving relationship, we're most vulnerable. And that is scary. I was in a relationship, I think I shared this last time, I don't mind talking about it, but when I was about 20, it wasn't a very long relationship, but he was very abusive. And I thought it was love, you know, it was my first proper relationship, and I thought I was completely in love with him, and I'd walked into a relationship where I ended up being completely emotionally abused and manipulated, and when I look back on it now, I'm like, that's not love. I was terrified the whole time. I woke up every morning not knowing whether he was going to be in a good mood or a bad mood or what I was going to experience that day, and that's not love, is it? Because when you're in real love, when you're with or in a loving relationship of any kind, whether it's romantic or whether it's not, actually there's no fear. There's no fear. And that's really important to remember, actually. And when we're talking about God, if we are fearful, I wonder whether it's because we are putting our earthly experiences of love onto a God who is not from this earth. In the book of Joshua, it says, he's going to be with us always. We can be bold and courageous because he's with us always. Perfect love and a loving relationship makes us bold and courageous. Makes us the very best versions of ourselves, doesn't it? That's who our God is. He makes us better. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Who you are right now, but that's not the end. There's more for you. There's a plan for you, there's a purpose for you." And Psalm 139 talks about how wonderfully and carefully you were made, how much thought he put into how you were created. How much he loves to watch you and to see you and to see you grow and to see you interact with other people and to see you as you stand up, as you sit down, as you walk, as you talk with others. And these are the very blessings that God longs to pour out onto us. You know, as women, we're quite insecure, aren't we? I think we're genetically modified to be quite insecure. And the other thing that we do, which is terrible, and we all know it's terrible, we can't help ourselves, is we compare ourselves with other people. You look around the room and you see somebody else and you think, oh, they just must be so confident, they must have no problems because they just walk into life, they just get on with it, and look at them, they're just so, they don't carry the weight that I carry, they're not worried about this, or I could never do that because I'm like this, I do this kind, do you know what I mean? I'm saying nothing really, but you know what I'm talking about, because we all do it, don't we? I've done this a couple of times where I've shared, and I just find it helpful for me. I'm terrible with visual aids, so I'm sorry if this doesn't relate to many of you. But I find that each of us are made very differently. We're all made a little bit unique. And we all have a very different way about going through life. But we compare ourselves to one another as if we're all the same, as if we're supposed to be all the same. And this perfect love that I've been talking about, this perfect love created us with the capacity to receive from him. And we're all created with a purpose. Actually, that purpose isn't all that different. His purpose is to receive his love and to give it out. If you've been looking for your purpose in life, there you go. The search is over. Your purpose is to receive love from perfect love. To know it, to accept it, to cherish it, and then to be generous with it. To give it out to those people around you. And but we were all created to do that differently. And that's where your unique personality, your unique character comes in. This is my favourite mug. It holds the perfect amount of tea. At the moment, I'm limiting myself to 3 cups of caffeinated tea because my midwife has told me that's the limit. Sometimes I push it to 4, if I'm honest, because I have 2 small children. She doesn't know, well, she doesn't take that into consideration, does she? So I have maybe 3 or 4 cups of tea. It's my favourite mug, you can tell, because inside it is stained. So you know it's been very well used. You can buy this stuff now, can't you, that cleans the inside of your mug. It takes all the stains away. I don't know if you've seen that stuff. Apparently it's really good. I haven't used it, obviously. But this is my favourite mug, very well used. If you look at it from the outside, I think it's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous little mug. Bit of marble, bit of rose gold. It's very fashionable at the moment. Really nice mug. However, on the inside, it's a little bit dirty. And I think many of us can feel like that sometimes. Everything looks really good on the outside. Everything looks really useful. Everything looks like it's all together. But actually, if you knew what was going on the inside, would you use this mug? Would you? And I would, because it's my favourite. But I might not give it to a guest. And that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Very often we can feel that about ourselves. We can feel like, oh, well, everything's looking really great on the outside. And if you were to see me, you'd never know. You'd never know. And I don't really want to show, actually. But on the inside, there's all sorts of interesting stuff going on and some hard and painful things. No, you're all right, don't worry. This one is a little different from this one. I wouldn't drink tea out of this, I'll be honest. And I'm not drinking a whole lot out of this at the moment because I'm pregnant. But it serves a very different purpose, doesn't it? It's a very different... It's a cup. It's created to do the exact same job, but in a very, very different way. And this one I keep on a higher shelf so the children can't get to it. I am a little bit more careful with it when I'm loading the dishwasher. And I definitely wouldn't put hot stuff in it. Okay, and that is actually like some of us. Some of us are a little bit more fragile. Some of us need special care and special attention. Some of us need, and some of us are made for a very specific purpose, to do things in a specific way. And that's not bad. In fact, I really like drinking out of this, if I'm completely honest. And actually, even if it's not an alcoholic beverage, if it's just a nice orange juice or something, it makes you feel a bit more special, doesn't it? When you've got these out, when you've got a glass out, it makes you feel that little bit more special than if you just drink... I mean, you wouldn't drink orange juice out of this, would you? No. This does the exact same job as these two, but these are kept on the bottom shelf The children have full access to these, and they end up all over my kitchen all of the time. I end up kicking them about, and do they break? No. And some of us are a little bit like that. Actually, we're just adaptable. We can do anything. You can make, I mean, sometimes, you know, if you're putting a bit of corn flour in something, sometimes I'll just grab one of these and make my little corn flour paste in. They're literally for anything. I love them. Measuring rice, just anything. And actually, some of us are a bit like that. We can do pretty much anything, put us anywhere. We're not made for that exact purpose, but we can do it. And when the kids get us, they love us because we're colourful and we're fun and we get on with it and we're adaptable. Some of us are made for a very specific purpose, and we're a lot more analytical, a lot more logical. We like things a certain way. We like to measure things out exactly. Again, do you know, you could do any of these things with any of these cups, couldn't you? But really, they're made for a purpose. They're made for a specific thing. And it's a good job that this doesn't wish it was this. It's a good job that this doesn't wish it was this, because I would hate it if my favourite mug got smashed. I had a favourite mug, it got smashed, had to replace it, it was very sad. Again, I mean, these, I'm just doing the same thing, but these are different. They're created for very, very different reasons, to do things a very different way. But actually, the same stuff goes in them. And I think that as women, particularly women, people, but really, I'm talking to you guys, because actually women, I think we're a bit more inclined to do this. We compare ourselves to each other, and the wine glass thinks, I wish I was more like the mug. Just wish I was able to hold a bit more hotness, or I was able to be used a bit more regularly. Just wish I was a bit different. And this one thinks, I'm not special enough, or I don't look good enough. I wish I could sit on the top shelf. And this one thinks, well, you could do life without me. Not that important. But can you imagine baking without one of these? Perfect love has created us perfectly. I look around the room and none of our faces are the same. None of our stories are the same. You know, you think, oh, I don't really have a story. But if you talk to somebody next to you, it's different from theirs. Your life looks very different. And you were made to receive love, and you were made to give it out. That's the exact same. The same stuff goes in. The love that God wants to pour out on you is no different from the love that God wants to pour out on you, that he wants to pour out on you. But the way that you receive it and the way that you give it out is going to be different, because he's made you very specifically for a very specific purpose for such a time as this. For the family that you're in, for the people that you're around, for the lives that you touch that you don't know that you touch. For children, for grandchildren, for family, even for just this room. You're important and you are made, and he loves you differently. Differently from all the other people that have loved you. Different from all those other people who even love you now. He loves you. And it's not a love that will disappoint. It's not a love that will let you down. It's not a love that hurts. It's a love that constantly and continually reminds you of who you are, of what you were created for, and who you are to other people. You know, very often we apply filters to the way that we receive that love. So not only do we think that who we are isn't enough, but because of our disappointments and because of our failings, we receive it all in a different way. And we're fearful that we're not enough. We're fearful of what other people might think. We're fearful of failing. We're fearful of being disappointed, even by God. And we've all at one time struggled with these things and these thoughts. And it results in us being paralyzed, or it results in us being bitter and angry. And I don't know if you can relate to either of those two things, but I probably experienced both of those feelings at one time or another, being so paralyzed by my own insecurity that I'm not able to receive that love, and I'm definitely not able to do anything with it, even if I received it. So it just kind of sits and gets stagnant. And being paralyzed is it's a really strange thing. In the Bible, there's a story of the parable of the talents. Jesus tells this story, and he says that there was a master who gave, he was going away, and he gave coins to various servants. He gave one to one, some more to another, and even some more to another. And the one with one thought, right, well, I need to look after this. I need to make sure that I get to give it back to my master. So he buried it. Whereas the second one thought, I could make some money with this. I could do something with it. And off he went and made a bit of money. And the third one went off and made even more money. And when the master returned, he was really well pleased with the second servant. And he was really well pleased with the third servant. But that first servant, who was so paralyzed with fear that he was going to ruin it, that he'd just buried it, he was so paralyzed, he hadn't done anything. The master was disappointed. I think that can be like us. We're so doubtful of ourselves that we don't do anything with the things that God's given us. And I just want to encourage you, even if he's only given you one, receive it, treasure it, but let's do something with it. Let's not be paralyzed. Let's be confident that he made us on purpose. He made us exactly how he was supposed to make us. He didn't make a mistake. You don't have to be fearful, because perfect love has no fear. You don't have to be fearful of the one who made you. But the other thing we can be, as I said, was resentful or bitter or angry. And Jesus tells another story about this, and he says, I don't know if you've heard of the parable of the unforgiving debtor. So there was a guy who owed the king loads of money, and the king came to collect his debt, couldn't pay. And he begged and he said, oh, please have mercy on me, forgive me. And the king had mercy and said, okay, I wipe off your debt. That man went away relieved. He came across a man who owed him some money. And what did he do? He threw that man in prison until he could pay his debt. When we become bitter and angry and resentful, we end up hurting other people. Instead of loving them and doing the very thing that we were created for, the very thing we were supposed to do, receive from the king, receive from perfect love, and then give it out, we do the opposite. We receive, and then we don't give it out. And it becomes bitter and angry and resentful. Perfect love casts out fear. But also, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said that he came that we might have life, and life in all of its fullness. And life of its fullness, for me, is definitely about accepting and embracing who God made me to be. At this present moment, that is a full-time mum with two little boys, completely exhausted, trying to grow another human, and not feeling like I'm being very productive, in all honesty. But actually, that's who God is calling me to be right now. And I get to hang out with heaps of mums and do all sorts of fun stuff with my kids. And actually, for me to say, oh, well, I'm here at the moment and I really want to be here, but I'm not, I need to put this down. That is not me right now. Maybe one day it will be. Maybe I'll get to be a bit more fragile and sit on the top shelf and have other people do things for me. But right now, I'm this. I get kicked around, I do everything. And that's okay. But we have to embrace and accept who we are in order that we receive it, that we're good with it, and then we get to give it out to everybody else. I thought it would be really good if I could pray for you. But before I do, I just wanted to say that fullness of life that Jesus was talking about is trusting that God made you, that he likes how he made you, and that he has a unique purpose for you and for your life. And I would love to pray that you would know those three things really, really truthfully. That he made you, that he likes you, and that he has a unique purpose for your life. Still. Even today. Even now. Is that okay if I pray for you, those three things? Fantastic. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you that in you we can receive and know what it is to receive perfect love. I want to pray for each woman in this room, including myself, Lord, that we would know and trust that you made us, that you like how you made us. In fact, you're pretty proud of how you made us, and that you have a unique purpose for our lives. I want to pray that we would not be fearful to step into all that you've promised for us. We would not be fearful to receive your love, that we would not put blockages in the way of receiving that love, and that we would know you even closer, that we would be filled with your love, and that we would be able to pour it out onto those around us. I just wanted to also just give an opportunity, if this is the first time that you've really heard and understood about God's perfect love and you want to receive that into your heart for the first time, I would just love to pray. So if that's you, just open your heart to this and maybe repeat in your mind or in your heart these words. God, I thank you that you love me. I choose today to receive that love. I want to walk in that love. And I believe that you're for me. Help me to know that today and every day. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I'd love to, if anybody does want me to pray with them afterwards, because love is a big one. And when we all receive it so differently, but actually God is love, he's perfect love. If you'd like me to pray with you, I'd really love to do that. But thank you so much for having me. It's been really nice to share with you and eat together. What a good breakfast. Thank you so much, Bertley. Oh, I'm just going to sit down and try and untangle this.